things in perspective. The Mood of the Nation with Lester Markell.
This is the beginning of my rounds on Saturday, the 28th of September. This wasn't your day. That's all there is to it.
It just wasn't in the cards for me to go up there.
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir.
Yes, I did that. I sure ain't gonna drive up there and get in that mall, but them people bumping that soul finger of mine around.
Lord help us.
Well, there'll be, I don't know what that stadium over up there, 45,000, don't it?
That must, must. I'll be that burn. Now, that's a trick for a little boy to do. Telling you, your husband, it wasn't in the cards for him to go anywhere today, Jane.
And I'm the poorest driver, and I said that, I don't know, he just held it up, and I said his fingernail was rising up and dripping blood, and I said it made me sick. I don't know what in the world. Usually it doesn't faze me, but it did last night. And then I said I felt like I was driving through a tunnel going to Williston. I'm such a poor night driver anyway. But we made it.
Yeah. Who'd you get over there?
A Dr. Davis from Gainesville. A young Dr. Davis. I had not heard of him before, but he's very nice.
Yeah.
He said he'd been up there several years. I thought perhaps he was connected with one of the hospitals or something.
Uh-huh.
Didn't seem to be.
Well,
and
Fred, good Lord,
Wright
might have been looking out for him.
That's right.
Because might have went up there and got in a wreck and got killed or killed passengers in my car.
Yeah.
I went up there and got in a wreck. So maybe that's the reason I didn't get a chance to go.
Except you don't. So that's what happened. Fred had his hand all bandaged up, and they'd been to the hospital last night. And now he couldn't go to the ball game. And he'd been planning on that. And now here's a little scene with two of his customers. One of them had brought his check and had got a money order and sending off his money. And this is Fred's talk with him. Now here's the sensation, the shooting down at McIntosh, and I know everybody's talking about that. Oh, has it been in the paper?
Yeah. You know, I don't know whether the boy or the man was mixed up or what, but he got into that Pila home down there. Speaking about the walk-ups, that's one of the walk-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth's
daughter?
Uh-huh, that's little
and
Elizabeth.
I heard that man was going back to the university to get his doctor's degree.
Yeah.
Or master's degree or something.
In the College of Education and had finished. Doing graduate work is what
the place. And we have to talk about the Cavs.
Hey, myself.
Calling me?
Yeah.
I'd go out there and turn it on and fill it up for him.
Mm.
He's putting himself water on there. But they let you know.
They'd really let you know. I asked Fred if Mr. Gilbert had showed up this morning, and he said no. I said, well, he's late. He said yes, and he had been late, too. So I just left the store, and I just seemed to head on up towards Mr. Gilbert's. And when I got in front of the house, I saw what had deterred him.
Where is the game? Tallahassee. Well, I think it must be that driving all the way over there.
See.
Yes, sir.
That little wind the other evening got a little gust here, and it hit this and blowed this thing over. It's about dead anyhow. There wasn't much to it. I heard something crash, and I said, what the hell? I thought maybe it was that old tree there that went down.
Uh-huh. Hope it was.
And Missy's coming around here and looks, says, no, says, that wasn't that tree. Says, it's one of my clotheslines on it. So, well.
Well, it wasn't much holding it up, was it?
No.
and burned.
It was my own fault, I guess. That boy, he come here a couple of years ago, and he got up here and he trimmed all the 11s off again. It got too big. And after he done that, I got fooling around here. It's all dry in there, so I put some fire inside of it. I thought it was going to burn it down. I taken the clothesline off it. But it didn't burn down.
Yeah.
But it left that shell out there.
Yeah.
Darren, this kind of darren tree is a nuisance. They run them roots out there, and they sprout, boy, all over the damn place.
Yeah.
Now maybe it'll die now, and it'll quit that. And some of these roots out here are kind of mean getting around with a lawnmower. You got to watch your step, and your love will wreck yourself.
Mm-hmm. When you're got on that riding mower. This is that old ironwood tree?
No, this is what they call the sugar maple or elm or whatever you call it. It has them little berries on it, you know.
Oh.
And they used to worry the mess. She'd hang a cloth out here when it get full of berries. Darn birds light in you and eat the berries and then shit on her laundry. And it stained it, you know, and come out.
Yeah.
That's one reason I was glad to get rid of the damn thing.
Well,
it's almost as bad as them darn old, what the hell is it?
Starling.
It's almost the same bad as pokeberries, but they ain't no pokeberries around here, but mulberries is bad too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I grow pokeberries.
You got something on your side? There was some grow down here on the point, but they got that cleaned out now. There's a few long edge of the woods there. They tough them. A lot of other people, too, up in Georgia, North Georgia, they go pokeberry hunting. When they first come up, you know, that leaves is tender and green. They get them off and they cook them like they do turnip greens. They go wild after them spring of the year. The old folks up there, they claim it. You eat some poke salad spring of the year and get you some sassafras roots, make them some sassafras tea and drink it. You won't have no fever all that year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether there's anything to it.
They can remember the time where they did have fever, don't they?
Well, I know when I was a kid up there growing up, I lived with grandparents. They had sassafras on there, and they had to grow up branches there. They call it they made tea out of it anyhow. It had a nice flavor to it, and they'd take the leaves and limbs off that when it first put out spring of the year and mix it with the sassafras root. And make a tea out of it. It had a nice flavor. It was nice. That's why they used to drink up there. They didn't know nothing about this here damn tea, iced tea, hot tea. They didn't know nothing about that in them days.
No. I don't think there's anything ever tasting it more refreshing, you know, in that season of the year than that sassafras.
No, it's good. And I had around that ladder there, I own a place up there, and it had lots of sassafras on it. And they used to come up there and want to dig that, you know, and take it down there, take down there and sell them roots around that ladder there. People had raised on the farm and drank sassafras tea, and they couldn't get it down there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know how many damn roots they dug up there. You can never miss them anyhow. I had one damn hill there. It was called Sassafras Hill. Damn, they didn't have a sassafras on it. Around the edge where it hadn't been tended, some of them darn sassafras, they'd get big as your leg and big enough fence post. And they made good fence posts. They'd last long if you get them. They had trouble of getting them straight enough. They was inclined to be crooked.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people used them. If you get sassafras posts, well, they'd last. From now on.
I don't know that I ever saw a sassafras that big.
Yeah, they go.
I brought up in the south.
There's some down here around this place, this old nigger that died. What's his name the other day down there?
Dollar Jane.
Yeah, that field out there, the other side of. Well, it's right across the road from you on that field there. There's some sassafras in there.
Lions of Washington?
Yeah. There's some sassafras in there. There ain't too much of it, but there's some sassafras in there around the edges.
Oh.
But it don't, I never seen none grow big. Didn't see nothing around the edge there. It got big like it was up in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
But she's got some sassafras in there.
You never farmed that in there, did you?
Yeah.
Has you?
Yeah.
Where do you know the land there?
Mm-hmm. I farmed that for Miss Patterson out here one year. She put some corn in there. And I made her a damn good piece of corn up there. And that brother of Patterson's, he come down here. And he was gathering it. It took him all winter to gather it. It was good corn.
Mm-hmm.
But I put it down in the ground and I went in there and tore it up while it was little, and then I left it. I didn't not bother it no more. You're going to raise corn. The only thing is down here, you're going to work it when it's young, and then forget it. The damn stuff grows up. Look at that there now. It grows up so damn bad that you can't find the corn when you get ready to get it.
Well, now that's them old beggar weeds.
Yeah, there's beggar weeds in there, and there's some other kind, them yellow ones out there, what the hell they call it.
Well, now, them beggar weeds, they put that out a lot of times, because that's like...
Yeah, that's a land improver.
Yeah,
Wherever they grow, it'll grow anything. Well, that's what I told Davidson out here. I told him he wanted that land. I told him I'd let him have it. So he got a late start of dry, too.
Yeah.
He didn't get it fixed like he ought to have. Where he made his mistake, he started laying it off down yonder, coming this way, and putting in his fertilizer. He got about halfway down there, and he had tractor trouble, and he lost 3-4 days getting that fixed up. Then he come back, started in down there, come on up here, laying off and putting in the fertilizer. As soon as he got through, he doubled right back up here and went to planting. Time he got down there, of course, that fir, he didn't open it up or nothing. Just run up with a planter, got so damn dry, it wouldn't come up.
Oh, I see.
And it laid there and laid there and laid there. You know, when it does that way, it don't do no good. Well, this up here come up pretty good. He got good stand, so he's got some good corn in here, about half of it. It does pretty good.
Well, that's not what fertilizer people say, you know. They say just let it lay. It won't hurt it.
Yeah. It won't hurt for it. Don't get rain on it as far as fertilizer goes, but as far as your corn goes, you got to get it up. You put it in there, ain't going to do no good. Well, he wanted it again. He says, wherever there grows weeds and grass like that, he said, I've got to try a different thing. I'm going to make some corn on that next year. I said, okay, you can have it.
Well, now all you need when it grows up like that, put your cattle in there. They'll take care of that.
Well, what he was going to do, he's going to get his corn off. He's going to run in there and water that down, see?
Uh-huh.
And cut it up so that stuff could die.
Uh-huh.
But he couldn't do that last year because he got too late a start and had so much on there. He couldn't even fix it with all that stuff on there.
Oh.
And he had to burn it off to fix it.
Oh.
So if he'd went ahead and cut all that stuff up, as dry as it was, he never would have got nothing up on it. Mm-hmm. It'd been open.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That grass and weed and stuff is good stuff. You can get it watered down where you can handle it, then turn it under in time for it to rot, see?
Mm-hmm.
Get away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Now up in Georgia, they... So a winter cover crop up there, rye and vetch. Well, if you can get in there before this rye heads out, where you get a stand on it, it really gets rank, you know, especially if you fertilize it a little. Now, if you can get in there and hit it before that rye heads out, just when it starts to head, something like that, and get it under, You can let it lay there a couple of weeks then.
Yeah.
And it goes away. But if you let that rye head out,
makes
that, that stalk gets tough, see? It won't go away from here. And you can turn it under, wall it down, turn it under, but it won't make a dime worth of stuff that year. But the next year, it'll do good, see? But the year you turn it under, it just holds the ground open, so it turn open, it won't do nothing.
Oh. Well, now, how would you farm that like you used to before you had a tractor, Mr. Gilbert?
Well, there's a lot of people that didn't sow that fetch and stuff. They just turned it and fix it and go ahead. They wanted to improve the land. That's where the trouble comes, see? All this land was farmed to death, and it just kept going downhill, see?
Yeah. Well, now, before you got a tractor, you never improved it like that.
No, you couldn't improve it. Well, some of them could, but before you had thin soil and all, where it didn't grow so rank, you could get in there with a rolling cutting colder and kind of cut it back and turn it on at the right time. Then, hello it was, if you didn't have a tractor where you get over it, the fast part of it would get too. Mm-hmm. If you're just working it with mules and horses, well, it was slow, that it'd get ahead of you before you get it under right, see?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, if you hadn't any amount of it.
I don't know that I ever saw a plow with a coulter on it for a horse.
Yeah. Yeah, they put rolling, they put rolling coulters on there to part that vetch. They had to part it. If you didn't, the damn stuff would roll up in the. You'd be here before you couldn't do nothing with it, see?
Yeah.
You'd be stopping there a little bit and kicking that stuff out in big wads that were laying on top of the ground.
Never get through them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had rolling coulters. Now, it's the same as you got for tractors, same thing as you got on tractors for rolling coulters.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
You didn't have rolling coulters with yours?
With the tractors, I've seen it with the tractors.
Yeah, Miss Patterson had rolling coulters with hers when I was farming around here with her. Before she lost all of the darn stuff, she had a planter and ground distributor and everything that went with it. But she ain't got nothing but the damn tractor now. She had a pretty good disc hair in Bush and Bog, but that's no good anymore.
Is that the one that's sort of rusted out up there now?
Yeah.
Do you use it?
It ain't no good. It's all rusted out.
All I had to do was just let them set out and
eventually
get them.
Darn near all these people's got a lot of machinery. Let them set right out in the damn field. Like Williams over here, he comes over here and cuts hay and stuff. He leaves them right in the damn field. And ordinarily, the last place that he gets through cutting in the season, he leaves them set right on. He needs them next year.
Well, now, I'd seen these old I've seen the bailer sitting out there.
Yeah.
And the rake.
Now, here's another guy over here on this road going out here from the Sticks. That big ranch out there on the other side, this old man that lives right at the River Sticks. That house, you know what's his name? He just retired, sold out his orchard and cattle and all here a while back.
Garrigan?
Well, the guy right. Yeah, all of them got that big ranch in there.
Oh, yeah.
He got a big seed gatherer in there. He gathered the seed off that in there. And it's still sitting right out there in the damn open. He probably sit there till he needs it to seed next year.
Uh-huh.
All these people, they do the same damn thing. I got a brother-in-law up in Georgia. He run a damn dairy up there. He's got about 3 or 4 tractors, hay balers, mowing machines, got a darn sawmill up there, and a skid motor to pull it, and every damn thing sets right out the damn open. Nothing over it. Well, hell, you got that kind of equipment, it's just like buying and throwing your money away, I think. You gotta have a shelter over it. The only thing you got a shoulder over is a damn milking barn, and he got a shelter out there. He puts his bale of hay under to keep that from rotting, and that's all he got. Right, the rain is not what does it so much. It's a
sun.
It's a heavy dew and the sun. We'll fix him up. Now, Fred Wood's down here. He got a lawnmower down. He's working on it the other morning down that one. Ron, well, he pulled it partly apart. I sat there and watched him. Well, damn, I just rusted as hell. Well, it just set out in the damn weather. That's what caused it. He finally got it to running. He got the flywheel off and cleaned his points up. Well, I know they had to be rusty in there and all.
Well,
just looking at the rest of it.
He could have pushed that under his house up there,
yeah.
That big old house of his.
Did I use repellent? Push more. I just pushed it under the darn house.
Yeah.
And now this ride, when I stick it in yonder.
Yeah.
And I got a pretty good little old ride. Did you see that one?
I
saw it. Short 3 or 4 months.
You know what?
Hi. Got two of them right here.
Like this one, for us. On that, and it wore up. Transmission.
And the other one didn't have it. You did the other one off from the pedal.
No, the other one is. The other one. See this down here? This new clutch here, you can pull this wheel up off that seat.
Yeah.
You can lock it there, and this is your shift here. See this here? You run it over here like that. That's reverse. Backs up, you run it over the other side of that plate, you go ahead, see?
Mm-hmm.
And you can go along there where you go head slow, see? Or that's where you gauge it for that. But this one here, you got regular transmission. Three times since I had it. These are pneumatic tires in the rear and semi-pneumatic in front.
Mm-hmm. And the other one didn't have the pneumatic tires.
No, that's semi-pneumatic all the way around. But I like that other one for its handling goal. It's easy.
Well, at this point, the microphone plug worked loose in the tape recorder. I didn't know it. And it's just as well that nothing further happened. We walked on in the house. I wanted to use the telephone. And I didn't know why Jim was going in there, but what he did was get a armful of old newspapers. He's going to burn out that old tree. Now, Ms. Gilbert was just turning through the Sears catalog on the dining room table when I went in to use the telephone. When I got through, we talked a little bit about, I told her what I was calling about, getting a Stack 9 to pull in the Orlando ABC station. We talked about those things just a minute, and I went on back out, and I tried to get a mule story again and still couldn't do it. I walked on out of the car, and Mr. Gilbert's on back to the tree where he had it, the papers on fire. And last thing I could hear him say was he didn't have any mule stories. All of his was true. That is certainly right. That is perfectly right. It's just good, plain talk without any embellishments, so far as I've been able to find out. It's got no connection with Mark Twain and what we call that old Mark Twain tall tale tradition. I haven't run into that at all. No tales. Now, that's the end of my rounds on Saturday, I guess it was. Now, this is my rounds on Wednesday morning, the 2nd of October, 1968. Wednesday morning, the 2nd of October, 1968. And this is the beginning of my rounds. The second time. Oh, this whole summer. And this time, I got a mule story. Got all sorts of mule stories. And I'll just set down a few of the little preliminaries after Jim Gilbreth got there. Iris was there, but my machine didn't work for some reason. Now, that big game, FSU and Florida, University of Florida and Florida State University, last Saturday, Jim Gilbreth saw it on his radio, and Fred went over to Ruth, to Jane's sister's, and tried to watch the television there, and it wasn't any good. And we talk about the cable TV.
When I was trying tonight, Fred got his finger caught, wasn't it?
No, it's Saturday morning, I guess he was up there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Must have been Saturday morning, because they were going to go to the game. Did you all finally see the game?
No, sir.
Well, I mean the...
We went over and tried to see it over there, but brother-in-law was on television, but didn't come in very good.
Could you get it, Mr. Gilbert?
What's that?
That game on Saturday.
I got it on
the radio.
Yeah. I'll bang it on the Macintosh. They got quite a few people on Macintosh.
Yeah.
They brought it down there. We could probably
just hook on there.
Hook on.
Yeah, you'd be right there close to it.
$5 a month. People are sending money.
Anybody working with the government ought to have $5 a month. Wouldn't be nothing.
Cost me 35 cents here for 3 months to get my mail.
Yes, and you come and get it.
Up that house, and that mailman
put it in the box.
Yeah, he goes down the highway. Well, he come down here, don't he? Yeah, look, you be getting late, and he goes to the highway, and he ain't got a darn mailbox up there. He come up by the house there, and he gets five people up there on the hill, and he go right down the hill, and he pick up. He wouldn't miss a house.
Yeah.
I want you to keep him out of back in that room.
Well, and he can't do that?
Well, he ain't doing it.
Well, Miss Carey had her box over there on this hard road. And it was still up there, you know, for a long time after I come around here. Did she have a box over here, Fred?
No, she never did get the mail.
That's before. Well, she didn't have to come over here then.
They saw her not long ago. Oh, when you did.
Well, what would she be doing in Newberry? That's out of her.
She don't have watermelon pepper.
Oh. You know, I'd clear forgot about
it. Yeah, it's all there.
I'd clear forgot about that watermelon festival. The fella ought to go through that. The first year or two I came down here, I went over there. See, I lived right out there, kind of on the Newberry Road, and I went out there every now and then, especially during the watermelon season, cantaloupe. Your tree this morning, Mr. Gilbert. Did you get that pretty well?
It's burned up. There's one chunk still smoldering this morning.
Oh.
It's gone.
How long did you work on it?
Well, I didn't do nothing wrong about that and chunk it up every morning.
Every morning? Use papers mostly?
Well, I use papers to get started with.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, them little green limbs didn't burn, so you got to have a pretty warm fire to get them.
They all burned up. It's all gone.
Them little green ones?
Yeah, all of them.
Well, was you helped out there the other morning with your rifle? Some of your pecan raiders out there?
Yeah, the darn crows.
come in there, and the darn squirrels and the peckerwoods, blue jays, and I gotta, yeah, and blue jays, I gotta stand guard out there to keep them run over. I hadn't seen any crows. The damn crows come over there earlier morning. I got one out there the other morning. He flew up there, and boy, he fell out of there. Well, I stayed away for a couple of mornings.
Yeah.
Buried the stuff?
Oh, he's talking about the cans. Ms. Gilbreth was walking along under those trees picking up pecans when I turned around and came on back over to the store, followed Mr. Gilbert on back to the store. She said the nuts were eaten on just on one side.
If you could just stick him out there where the rest of them will see him, you think that'd do any good?
Yeah. Well, up back one year, I shot one. I winged him, see?
Yeah.
Boy, he's full, you know, and them crows come back there for a week looking for him. I need a box of 22 shorts. You got any? I'm just out, I think. I waste a lot of them. I do a lot of shooting.
Not much hitting.
But I hit every now and then. I can say.
Hi, Mr. Butch.
How you doing?
Guaranteed to get on me.
Yeah.
How you doing? Get breakfast?
Yeah.
Do better than they just been coasting long, you know, there wasn't nothing in it, but wasn't playing hard, I guess. They didn't want the players to get hurt or something, I don't know. But they sure ain't done nothing since they won the pennant.
See that old man up here? Yeah, that's old coach, he's still. Seems you all won that game in Florida.
Oh?
Offense wasn't much supposed to be. I think Florida's defense should have been much fun.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody could have got back Florida's defense last
Saturday. I never saw anything like that.
I didn't either.
I swear I didn't. And that offense was good. They just got them.
Well, both defenses were good. Both Florida FSU's defense was good too.
Yeah.
But Florida's defense set up Florida's field goal and it's a touchdown too. Just
They just had everything down pat, and they were the right moves and everything.
Yeah. It was that day. Yes, sir.
Shut down for a couple of years.
I get short-winded now. I get out there and go like the devil for about 10, 15 minutes, and that's it.
Let me tell you. You know, when I think about being short-winded, I think about a mule. I remember we were making little pieces of tobacco. That's when I was living up in Kentucky. And I think I told you about this several times. And I don't tell these things very well like you do. But that tobacco was right on the side of a hill. And it's first time I ever noticed that a side of a hill could be wet.
9 o'clock in the north.
Well, you didn't miss much.
No, I tried to listen to it, but it's hard on me. I turned it off. And then
I thought maybe it was on 7. I thought they were going to be on all educationals throughout the state, and I turned over to 7, and they wasn't on there. I said, well, hell.
No, the mayor was making a speech on that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, they made me nervous. I don't know.
Fellas beat around the bush and on all the issues, so both of them.
Yeah.
You don't much know much on you. You did start with.
Fred tried to listen to the debate between Governor Collins and Congressman Gurney, whatever his name is, Gurney. Last night, Monday night, October the 1st, on Channel 5. And he found it hard to listen to, and I did too. But now this is what we've been waiting for. I've been waiting for this for months.
I tell you about the guy down South Georgia in Depression years, in the 30s. There's a guy down there. He owns bunch of land out there, you know, and he had a lot of sharecroppers, you know, furnished some mule out there and give them supplies to make crop on and all, you know. It had one old Negro out there that had been a farmer with him, and the mule died. So he didn't know what he's going to. He goes in and see about him getting a mule, something to work with, and he says, well, mule was pretty high compared with everything else then, you know, and cotton was cheap and everything. He said, well, he just didn't see how he could spend money for a mule, way price of the cotton and everything was for him to make a crop and furnish him. And so I said, boss, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, well, he says, did you ever plow a steer? And the officer said, I know, did plow a steer. He says, well, I got a bull over there. Says, you might take him out there and work him. Says, if you can work him and make a crop with him, so I'll furnish him, you can have him. So he says, I'll take him out there and try. So he got this bull and took out there. He got him broke and he was plowing pretty good, you know, but the darn bull, you know, after he'd get hot, well, he'd stop.
Yeah.
He wouldn't go, see? And he had had a hell of a time with him, you know, he was trying to get that bull to go. So he had a big old black cat used to follow him around there, and so he had a boy about 12, 13 years old. Take that black cat and put him on a bull back there. He put him out and said, get home by the tail and pull him. He done that, and that bull took off. So he was in town a few days after that. He said, going into him, said, how you making out there with bull? Said, I was doing all right. Said, it doesn't work, but I had a trouble with that bull. Said, he is sore and he wouldn't go. He says, it took me and that boy mine and that black cat to
get him underway. He said, well, what the heck has the black cat got to do with it? He told him. He said, well, I've heard everything.
How about that?
Well, he got him. The guy put the black caterpillar hold of his tail and pull him back. That boy would take off.
Well, let me tell you now, Mr. Gibbons, this mule, let me tell you, Bill Garrick come home and he saw what that mule was doing.
Now, I struggled along with that escapade with Bill Garrick with the mule down in that potato patch over across the railroad, and I couldn't tell it like Mr. Gilbert tells these stories, so I just cut that out.
Traded for a mule, and boys had him. I had a little old black mare. She was a good saddle mare and good to the buggy. And that boy over there, he had this mule, and he was just that age. He was galling, you know, and he didn't have a car. He wanted a mare, so I traded the mare to him for this mule. The mule was a horse mule. He's weighed about 1,000 pounds. He's stocky. And good mule sound and all, you know, but that rascal, he'd get hot and worried, and he'd get mean, and he'd take a notion he didn't want to go to the house. Mm-hmm. And he'd grab them bits in his jaws, and you couldn't hold him, wasn't nothing you could do with him. He'd go with you. Well, the boys had ruined him. They worked him to a desk hair, you know. And he'd take notice and go to the house, and they'd wrap the lines, they'd pull them back, you know, and they'd wrap them around the lever there that you're sitting here with, you know. And he'd pull that desk hair with his mouth, see, and go to the house with them. Well, I got it. I didn't know all that left. I traded for him. He was. He'd get hot at dinner time.
And then you found it out yourself.
If you had a row or two to do, you know, and dinner time come, you know, and you wanted to get them done before you went to the house, he'd take no notice you weren't going to do no more. He'd go in the house with you, see? Well, I had some battles with him. I was over there close to the house one day, and found a little old place. Missy come out and hollered, dinner's ready. I said, well, I'll be there in a minute, and that new herder, you know, and he'd go in the house with me right then. So there was a little old tree there, about the size of your leg, pretty close to there. And he had to pass that as I went around then, so I had good lines on there, you know, and I run the lines around that darn tree there, a couple of turns around there, and he couldn't go, see, nothing would give.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled him around and tied him up, take a trace chain off, and I just beat the devil out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of listened to me after.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what they have to do to
them.
You have to show them who's boss,
yep.
And then they'll listen.
Boy, yeah. he got down for me. I said, shut up. I whammed him with the trace chain again. And he cut that out, and I let him loose. He was pretty good. He kind of listened to me after that. But that's what it took.
Mm-hmm. I never saw anything but those cotton plow lines used on a mule.
Well, them cotton plow lines up there,
then you,
good, they'll hold them.
Yeah.
But you get more of a little bit, they'll go. But you can't hold a mule if he knows about grabbing them bits. you just ain't doing nothing.
You know,
up there had an old mule. He was
who was that?
Patterson.
Oh, yeah.
Had a mule up there. He was ornery, and they had trouble catching him out of the stable even. I was plowing over there one year. We had some water mullet over there, and I had him over there. And he got Foxy and I lit into him there, and he started across the ditch there, and a cane break with me, and he got loose from me. Come out across that field there with a plow stock and hanging. Well, I looked for it every time it hit, you know, it'd hang on the ground and then it'd go up. And I thought maybe it wasn't going to hurt him, you know, it had been cloudy. Hung there and hit him in the hip, but it didn't. He went on across the highway and up that hill, up to Patterson's there. There wasn't no hole in him. He grabbed them bits.
And he's hard to catch, too.
Yeah. Miss Patterson had a couple of guys up there, worked with her a couple of years to work that mule. And every once in a while, she'd come out there and get me. And Mr. Gilbert, will you come out and catch that mule for them boys? They can catch it.
Yeah. Well, how did you go about it? Was he out in the pasture?
No, he was in the darn barn there, that big place, you know, in the barn.
And still they couldn't get to him?
No. I'd walk in there, I'd walk up there to him, he'd start, you know, like he was going to run around and kick. I said, whoa. He'd start to turn around. I walk up again, I said, cut that out. Come here. I put it up there and get a hold of it. He knowed whether he was afraid of it or not.
Oh, you mean just speaking to him?
Yeah. Mr. Patterson, he used to go out there with that darn bull whip he had, and he'd whoop him for about a half an hour, and he'd get him up against the wall there, shaking. See, he's afraid of him. He'd go up and catch him then, but...
Is that right?
Yeah, he wouldn't try to walk up and catch him. If he walked up and tried to catch him and he wouldn't let him do it, he'd run out and he'd go and get that whoop, and he wouldn't try to catch him for about a half hour. He sat in there and frail hell out of him until he got him walked up against the wall there, and then he'd go up and catch him.
And that old bull would sting him, wouldn't
he? Yeah.
I bought a little old mule from Jimmy and Trish. You could go and catch that scoundrel. You could walk up to him and put your hand on him and put the bits in his mouth. But when you tried to get them over his ears, that scoundrel would do his head that way and knock you down with that brush. Mm. He'd throw it from here to that car out there.
Oh, really?
I just had to take and put that part over his head to undo the bits, you know. Put that over his ears first and then catch him that way.
Ain't a lot of
they got a hard head.
The ears that way. Well, that mule Patterson had up there, he was kind of funny about his ears, too, but I got on to that. The son of a gun, if I could catch him, I get to play, I grab that damn ear and hold on to it, see? Well, he wouldn't do nothing then. If he was holding on to it, he'd pull it up there and get that other ear in and flop it in there. But a lot of times, it tickled his ears, I guess, when you
I saw a little Ben Rider.
Ben Rider.
You mean Ben Rice owned the mule?
Yeah, he was living up there, close to old Bill Nettles. You remember when Bill had all that chickens? He was going up there. That darn mule, you couldn't keep him in a fence, hardly. And he'd get away from Ben and go over there and eat up that fella's chickens. Was you living up there at that time?
Yeah.
Yeah. T's got a horse. That's a light bay horse.
Oh, come
on. She's just panicky. You know, she just got a colicky stomach, I guess you'd say.
That old me was just my mother. She was that big. That's a good deal.
First time that happened to this horse. Gave her that mineral spirits and mineral. Well, you know, not castor oil, something like that.
Mineral oil,
and some other things, something wired as well, all like that. She just got up and didn't have any more signs. But hell, she'd break you. She'd break you, you know, it's all in bed every time she got the colic.
Well, that's about it. There's some more, but that's good enough. That's as I said, what I've been living for. Now, here's another thing I never have done, and you hear this train?
Well, from now on, they've got to have a pretty fair education before they can be accepted on account of all the Supreme Court rulings and all.
Yeah.
You take a man with the FBI now, he's got to have he's got to be a college graduate.
Yeah.
Most of them got to have a degree in law.
Yeah.
Well, I know. That's a train, and
yeah,
it's hardly the conversation.
Before a criminal could retaliate and shoot him.